Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to John 20, and I'm going to give you a secret. And I got to admit, until I studied for this for you, I didn't know the secret. And I'm so excited because I love teaching things that I'm learning while you're learning. And listen, that's why you got to volunteer as a Christian. You're never going to learn until you start volunteering. So find your gifts in the church. Go to a key. I can't talk. I'm so excited. Go to a church staff member and say, help me get into my ministry. Go to Growth Track and you'll be amazed at how you'll start growing. John chapter 20. I want you to look specifically at John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 and 31. Now, once we get situated, I'm going to tell you something. How many of you need a miracle from God? I do. I need one right now. I need a couple of them. You remember me telling you and teaching you that if you can learn about the character, the writer, the individual, you can mark out where it says Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Book of Revelations. You can mark it out and know exactly who's writing the book. But did you know that John talks about miracles in a way that Matthew, Mark, and Luke never do, hardly? And that he talks less, writes less about miracles, Brother Bass, in John than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He contains less miracles. And he was the one who was one of the disciples. So he was around Jesus for every miracle he ever had, along with Mary Magdalene. So look at John chapter 20, and I want to take you on a journey, and I want you to understand how John saw a miracle. Now, you've got to think, he saw the feeding of the 5,000. He saw the impotent man healed. He saw a blind man healed. And he actually records seven specific miracles in the way that I'm going to talk about. So let's dig into John and look at how John saw a miracle. John chapter 20, verse 30. If you're there, say amen. I'm in Jeremiah. No wonder I got problems. I'm so excited from the Bible study I just got out of. My mind's racing 100 minutes. I've got to calm down and change gears. John chapter 20. I'm excited about our church. Add so many new families. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. All you guys, when you see somebody new, help me. This is your church, our church, not my church. When you see someone new, stop them. Not in a bad way, in a good way, and say, hey, my name is Georgia. My name is Aaron. Can I help you find something? You're new here today? Because we got so many new families coming in, we want them all to feel welcome. And sometimes we assume that's happening, and it doesn't. So we can never let our guards down, no matter how large we are, no matter how much success God has given us with 1,300 people. We can never let our guard down and assume that everybody feels welcome. We all have to do our job. Amen? All right, thanks for doing that. And I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying we got to stay guard. John chapter 20, Tate, good to see you. It's you back there. Good to see you home from college. John chapter 20, verse 30. Here we go. All right, Jesus performed many other signs. Underline the word signs. In the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe, underline the word believe, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, underline the word life, in his name. Now, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 is the missional objective of the book of John. So John says very clearly in these two passages, the purpose of the gospel of John is to do these things. Let's read it again. Jesus performed many other signs, underline the word signs. It doesn't mean what you think it means. in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe, underline the word believe, that Jesus is the Messiah. And it's not just talking about, well, I believe that that was a good TV show. No, much deeper than that. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, Zoe, underline that word, in his name. So if you're going to understand John, you've got to understand what he was about. And if you were to ask John in the book of John, John, who are you and what are you about? He would say very simply in the Greek, sign, believe, and life. Sign, believe, and life. So look at what he's saying. Step back from the text, chapter 30, or verse 30 and 31, and look at the main statements. Jesus performed many signs which are not recorded in this book. What's he saying, Aaron? David, he's saying, I saw a lot of things that Jesus did that I am not talking about. I got thinking about this, Joanne, and I thought, my goodness, would I love to sit down and talk with him and say, would you tell me what you saw that you didn't write? That's one of the questions. I'm gonna hunt down John when I get to heaven. I said, I want you to tell me what you saw that you didn't write. It'd be, I don't care whether Adam had a belly button. Somebody say amen. Number two, the main statement would be the second statement. Those that are recorded are written for a definitive purpose. In other words, what he's saying is that what I did write, I'm writing as a definitive reason. I'm writing it with distinction. There's a reason why I wrote what I wrote, and there's a reason why I left out what I left out. So John says, there's some things that I saw Jesus do, a lot of them actually. He said, I'm not even going to write about them because I ain't got time. He said, but there are some things that I must tell you, okay? And so Jesus performed many signs which are unrecorded. And number two, those that were recorded were recorded for a definitive reason. So, number one, the author knew more than he wrote. Number two, what he did write was intended to fulfill a particular point or purpose. So there was a purpose in what he did write. All right. When you look at the book of John, write these words down with me. Write down the word sign. All right. Well, I got to pull this out. S-I-G-N. Okay. Give me 1 second. S-E-M-E-I-A. Now write down the word believe. Very important if you're going to understand John. And then this word is P-I-S-T-E-U-S-E-T-E. All right? And now write down the word life. I love this word. And it is Zoe. It is, and let me tell you something interesting about the word Zoe. People call their children Zoe. We have children in our church called Zoe. The word is a Greek word in the Septuagint for Genesis 1 and 1, where God gives Adam and Eve life. After Adam and Eve sinned, it is never used again for the word life until you get to John 10 and 10 when he says, Jesus said, I have come that you may have and have it more. So it's the kind of life that only God can give. And I'll get to that in just a minute. So look at the word sign in your Bible. Underline it. That word right there is a word. What do you think that word means, sign? Somebody want to give me a guess? Miracle. Means miracle. The word sign means miracle. Now, you say, really? Hold on. Hold that thought. When you see the word sign, John is saying, go back and read verse 30. It says, Jesus performed many other miracles in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. That's what you're reading right here. Okay? But there were three other words, and good job, Nikki. There were three other words used for the word sign. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 19. Let me save this spot so I can save time. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 19. It says, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. Acts 2:19. I will display wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. See that? Acts chapter 2, verse 19. I will display wonders in the heaven above and miracles on the earth below. It's what Jesus is saying is going to happen in the last day. That word for sign, and see, he could have used different words. So he didn't use Acts 2:19, which means a wonder, means a character of a miracle. It means a prodigy. It actually means it was a wonder. So God, how many of you know in the Bible, in the last days, how many believe we're living in the last days? Oh, goodness. In the last days, the Bible says there'll be wonders in the heavens. The stars will fall and the moon will turn to blood. So what the Bible says, there'll be wonders in heaven. John, Georgia, didn't use this word for sign. There are different words for sign. He used this word for sign, which means miracle. Say Maya. Now, go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Let me show you another word that's in the New Testament for the word sign. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. And it says, then he proceeded to denounce the towns where most of his signs were done because they did not repent. This was fascinating, Aaron. Georgia, you know what that word is here? Dunamai. Yeah. How many of you know what that word means? Yeah, but where's it at? Todd, it's in Acts, and you shall be endued with power. Dynamite power, Josh. Dynamite power. When that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. So one of the words John could have used was the word that means wonder, Acts 2:19, or the word in Matthew 11, which means dunamis. But what does that word dunamai mean? It means power revealed in the performance of a miracle and implies the spiritual energy that produced it. So John is not using a word in John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31, to say Jesus performed many other signs, wonders. That's not what it means. He didn't use the word dunamis. Jesus performed many other powers. He didn't use that word. What word did he use? This is kind of interesting because he didn't use those words. He used the word. It was a paradox. Let me make sure I slow down just a second here. So what he used was he used the word Simeon, which is this word right here for sign, which means miracle. But let me tell you what kind of miracle it means. It means God used a miracle for a specific reason and through a specific way. The deed, which is the miracle, is indicated of some power or meaning behind it to which it is secondary in importance. So what John is saying, that I saw Jesus do so many miracles which were secondary to the person who was performing it. So the emphasis is not on the power. The emphasis is not on the wonder. The emphasis is on who performed the miracle. Because that word sign means that the emphasis is on the that the miracle is secondary to the person who performs it. So the emphasis isn't on the miracle. The emphasis is on the person who's performing the miracle. And so John sets up this sign, this miracle understanding of God answering your prayer miraculously, not based on wonder, not based on power. Do you think about why we ask for miracles? We ask for miracles because we need God's power. Is there anything wrong with that? No, the New Testament alludes to this. We ask God to show us his power so the unsaved would see. Like today, I went out with a dear friend, and we got five people struggling with very serious cancer. And I'm trying to keep a good shepherd's eye on all of them. And I went to lunch with one today, and I left, and I did this. Every time I said, God, please heal my friend. Please, I'm asking for God's dunamis. I'm asking for God's wonder so the unsaved people would see his healing. But John says that when you seek a miracle, it's not the miracle, it's the person performing it. That's the emphasis. So as you pray for the miraculous, John is saying it's okay to ask God for power. Because the New Testament does this. I'm asking for power in my mom. It's okay to ask God for a wonder, for him to amaze people and show his strength. That's okay because the New Testament says it's okay to do this. But John goes a step further and says a real miracle is defined by not the miracle, not the power, not the power, and not the wonder, but by the person performing it. And places the emphasis on the miraculous, on Jesus, not his power, not his wonder, but the relationship you have with him. Now let's go a little further here. When you look, I'm going to give you these real quick. When you look, Go to Luke chapter 2 verse 12 and let me show you something. In Luke chapter 2 verse 12, it says, "This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in clothes laying in a manger." Underline the word sign. That is the same word John uses. You will see a miracle, not by power or wonder, but by the person performing it, the Holy Spirit. But John only, he has seven miracles. He turned the water into wine, chapter 2, 1 through 11. He has a recording of the healing of the nobleman's son, chapter 4 through 46. The healing of the impotent man, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. The feeding of the 5,000, chapter 6, 1 through 14. Walking on water, chapter 6 through verse 16. And the healing of a man born blind, chapter 9, 1 through 12. And the rising of Lazarus, chapter 11, 1 through 46. Now, in all seven of these miracles, he uses this word. And he uses these miraculous miracles, not because of dunamis and not because of wonder, but because of the second to the person performing them. The emphasis is not on the walking on the water. The emphasis is not the impotent man walking. The emphasis is not raising Lazarus, chapter 11, verses 1 through 46 from the dead. It's not turning water into wine, chapter 2, 1 through 11. It's not feeding the 5,000, chapter 6, 1 through 14. It's not the healing of a man who's born blind, chapter 9, 1 through 12. No. The emphasis is not on the blind man. The emphasis is not on Lazarus. The emphasis is not on the nobleman. The emphasis is not on the feeding of 5,000. The emphasis is on the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he and he alone is the miracle worker. Amen. So when you look at in all of these miracles John records, these seven, John records less miracles than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but he does so because he places the emphasis of miracles not on power and not on wonder, but on the second person behind He places it on the importance that Jesus is the reason that the miracle happens. The miracle is secondary to who's performing it. And so I think a lot of times that God, we come before God and we ask God for things, and God wants to give us these things, but he knows. He knows that we want what's in his hand more than we want him. You remember when God gave me a prophetic word in this church 2 years or 3 years ago, and I said, if God were to lay the head of Goliath at your feet, would you serve him? There's not a day or week goes by that God doesn't remind me of that prophetic word to this church, and it still stands. And I've watched a lot of people get blessed by God, brought out of unbelievable tragedy and death, and I've watched God prosper them, and I've watched them keep serving God. Anybody can serve a God, serve God in a test. Say, how did you mean to say that? Are you stupid? No, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody can serve God in the test. What do you got to lose? You ain't got nothing, so you lean on God. But the man or woman who learns to serve him in success, that's the one that's got it. And so I watched one of the individuals of this church get extremely prosperous financially and leave God. And I thought when I left them, buddy, payday's coming. Judgment's going to come. You're not going to mock God. God's not going to restore you from your Job experience and then let you go out here and sleep with everybody that got two legs. I got news for you. God's not going to restore you and put the head of Goliath at your feet and then let you turn around and sleep with Bathsheba every time you turn around and then show up to church, lift your hands, and feel sorry. Oh no, to whom much is given, much is required. And when God brings you out of a valley through the use of a miracle, it ain't about the power and it's not about the wonder. It's about the personal relationship of who touched you in the first place. That's good preaching for a white boy. Somebody help me in here. I'm about to shout on a Wednesday night. In other words, when we get to the place, I feel the Holy Ghost. When we get to the place where we want Him more than we want what's in His hand, a miracle is at our feet. When we get to the place where we worship Him, whether He heals us or not, we got it. We won. Regardless of whether we're healed on this side or the other side, and that is not a cop out, because you live longer on that side than you do on this side. This world is passing away, and quite frankly, I think it's completely lost its mind. And I feel like Dottie Rambo, I'm homesick. I'm ready to go home. I don't want to escape, but this is not my home. This is not my world. I'm a pilgrim passing through. But blessed be the Lamb of God. He's coming back like for a bride without spot or blemish. And He's going to know the difference between those that serve Him because of what's in His hand and those that serve Him because they love Him with an everlasting love, and they're fully dedicated not to the miracle but to the person who caused the miracle. Hallelujah. Somebody just give God some praise in this place right now. Folks, when we learn to love Him in success, revival is before us. When we learn to love Him, regardless of what He does for us, revival is in this place. When we learn to love Him, not His power, not His tricks, and there aren't tricks, and not His wonder, and we love Him because He first loved us, and we love Him no matter what. I love what the eunuch said, "Why sit here until we die?" That's a whole nother story. I see many of you, Giles, you're one of them. I see many of you coming through troubles and trials, and you're going through troubles and trials, and you've come out of it, and God's blessed you, and He's not through blessing you yet. It's just the beginning, but you've been faithful. As God moves you into success, you want to know how you got it? When you're faithful, when God moves you through success. Yeah, when you're faithful to God with success, He'll bless you. But if you're praying and begging God to do something because you want Him to show off His power, if you're begging and praying God, see, we try to manipulate God with miracles. And John was smart enough to know the difference. He said, you can manipulate God and say, I want you to be a wonder to my friends. Well, really, you don't care whether God gets glory from His friends, or your friends or not. What you want Him to do is heal somebody. That's okay. He understands you're but human and dust. You want God to move on somebody because you want Him to show His power. You want people to know that God's power is. Well, John says, well, literally, when you look at it, it ain't about power, and it is certainly not about a wonder, but it's about the man who touched the lame man. It's about the man who walked on the water. It's about the man who fed the 5,000. It's about the man who spoke to Lazarus and said, come forth. So when he talks about these miracles, there are signs because they point to an aspect of Jesus' ministry in which He demonstrates His transcendence and His control over the factors of life when the world is unable to cope. When the world is unable to cope. Now look at the word believe. Now you just think about the power, the dunamis, in semia. Now look at the power in believe. Pistou sete. The power in believe. Believe, what does that mean? Number one, I love this. This is good stuff right here. When a sign is present, there's two normal reactions. When a sign, not a power, not a wonder, but a miracle that points to the one who did it, and He gets all glory and honor. There's two things you can do. You can accept it or you can reject it. Now, I thought this was really interesting, Ed, because I sit down to dinner Sunday after preaching, and a Word of Faith preacher sit down beside me. And I'm a little weary of those jokers. But this one was really balanced, and I really like what he said. And he definitely was a brother, good Christian man, humble, very successful. Owns a huge construction company. And we didn't plan that. It just kind of happened. He's a pastor of a church in the area I was preaching at. And I really began to learn that even though there's some abuses in that world, faith is real. And that when you believe, let me give you an example. I'm going to give God glory. I don't want to give the devil an opportunity to hear what I'm saying, so I'd like to talk to you in tongues, but not everybody can have the tongue interpretation. My mom had 5-stage kidney disease. The doctor said, you're never going to get off dialysis. But my mother, Shannon, has more faith than I do, Laura. She does. That's her gift. Georgia Vision's my gift. Leading apostolically and building things. Those are my gifts. Encouraging people. My mom has a gift of faith. And when she said that, I didn't discourage her. No more than I discourage anybody else I pastor. And I said, Mom, I'm going to believe with you. I told my friend at lunch today, I'm believing with you that God heals you. Well, she just got back from the doctor and her kidneys have gone from 5 to 2. Now help me pray it stays that way. Amen. But there's something to be said about faith that is accepting. When you go not to the wonder and not to the power, but to the person, John says, your faith has two choices. Todd, to believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him and that you're going to reap what you have sown. I've been praying that over your life, yours and Kim's. When you go to the person, and I've been praying for you, Shannon, in your new business. When you go to the person, because you love the person, not because of the power, not because of the wonder, but you go and you believe, Jesse, that God is a rewarder, Tate, of those that he diligently seek him. That you cannot go to God, James says, asking him for something with the spirit of rejection. And so I started repenting right there, David. You can't go to God, John says. Oh, I love what John says about miracles. I'd like to write a book about this one. You can't go to John and say, listen, I want God to do a wonder. Because out you go. You can't say, God, I want you to show off your dunamis, your power. Nope, won't work. You can't even go to God alone and say, I believe in you, Jesus. You got to go to God with belief that believes what he said he was going to do. Now, word of faith people are right here. You got to learn, Nikki, to stand on the word. And you got to learn to quote that word to the devil over your situation. In other words, you're building a new business. I don't know whether you are or not. You need to be tithing. And if you tithe, you need to be quoting Malachi to God. And reminding God of his word because he said his word will not return void. Boy, this is good preaching. I wanted to have camp meeting tonight. We keep this up, I'm going to start throwing chairs. Somebody say amen. Now listen to this. You either accept him or you reject him. So you go to God, Jesus Christ specifically. Go to Jesus Christ specifically. John's very specific here. You go to Jesus Christ specifically and say, I believe your word. Because you have a choice. You have a couple of choices. Number one, to go to God, and one is power. Or go to God, and one is wonder. And you may get answered. But John says, you really want to get answered? You don't go to God for wonder. You don't go to God for power. But you go to God as the person performing the miracle. You go to Jesus because of relationship. And you cry, Abba, Father. Oh, I love the Boshiki. And you have to make up your mind, Georgia, I know you know this, to stand on the word and quote the word, accept him in belief, or reject the fact that he would be a good father. And if you ask for a piece of bread, he would give you a rock. It goes a little deeper. This Greek word, pistuo, for believe is used 98 times in this gospel alone. So when you study someone and you see where a word is used 98 times, the hair needs to stand up on top of your head because God's trying to tell you something. And this word, believe, means completely, personally committed. Too many Christians want to give God the scenario of breakfast. Too many Christians want to be the chicken and not the pig for breakfast. The chicken was involved, but the pig, doggone it, is committed. You understand that, right? The chicken can talk all they want to about breakfast, but all they did was get involved with breakfast. But the pig, He committed. Whether you eat sausage or bacon or ham, he's committed. And so what Jesus is saying through John about miracles is that it takes a sign, and it takes the understanding of pistosute, which means believe, and to believe means to be personally, completely committed. The old folks and some of the Word of Faith brothers and sisters say you've got to stand on the Word, and when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. And let me tell you something. I've seen people that are members of this church, even though they live off somewhere, who had a death sentence, capital D, when it came to cancer. And they have families that do nothing but speak the Word over them 24 hours a day. So they sit there, and their sisters that go to this church and mothers go to this church reads the Word to them all the time. And I don't know what God's end will is, but I can tell you this, they're healthier today than they were a year ago. God honors his word. Now, listen to this. Believing is not sufficient in and of itself. You can't just believe. Look at the word zoe, life, okay? Now, I'm not going to write this down because I'm almost out of time, but I want you to look at this word zoe. It's a... matter of fact, go look at John chapter 17, verse 3. Go to John chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal Zoe, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Let me tell you how beautiful the Greek language is and how smart the Holy Ghost is. He's speaking to John to write this book. And the last point in this particular chapter, John is saying that if you want a miracle, you got to understand sign, not as power, not as wonder, but as the person performing it. And that's where your loyalty and plea needs to go. You have to understand belief by accepting and standing on the Word of God. But you accept and stand on the Word of God, that's not enough. You must understand that you must have life in him, Zoe life. And what he says in John chapter 17, verse 3, read it again with me. He says, this is Zoe life, that you may know sign, miracle, not power, not wonder, but the person. That you may know the one who has been sent, Jesus Christ, that you may know the only true God, the one who has been sent, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. When you look at that word Zoe, it implies four things. It implies, number one, a consciousness. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight shall be on the law of the Lord, and on this law he shall meditate both day and night. Everything his hands touch shall surely prosper. Somebody say amen. So you have to consciously keep the word before you. I thought it was interesting. I went to a certain store this week, and the woman said, aren't you a pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, so-and-so. And I said, yeah, when they find out what church it is, they open up to me about their supernatural needs. And I'm glad we got that reputation. We have a reputation of being goofy. We have a reputation of being spirit-filled. Somebody say amen. And so she said, kind of leaned down. Nobody was in the store. She says, you believe in demon possession? That's why she asked me. And I looked back at her and I said, well, that's kind of a personal question. And I said, I wouldn't answer that just to anyone. I said, but the answer is yes. Absolutely. I've seen it. Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
You don't ever guess about it. How many of you, not to be goofy, but to be real, the Bible talks about it very clearly. How many of you have ever seen a real person delivered from possession? Can I see hands? Is that Mike over there? Yeah, Mike. You ever see it? DJ, it'll make the hair stand up on your head. You couldn't fake it. Bill, you ever seen it? Yeah, Joanne, you couldn't fake it if you tried to.
No.
What scares me, and I stopped watching scary movies, a lot of them, that are demon thing movies, I don't watch them no more, because whoever saw the real, made the movie, saw the real somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all I needed to see. And so I leaned into it and I started talking. I got to thinking, you know, the Bible says that a demon sets up in a soul, a spirit of mind, a will, an intellect, and emotion, or the will, the mind, the intellect, and emotion, when there's a dry place. Can Christians be demon possessed? No. Can Christians be demon oppressed? Yes. And many of us need freedom. Many of you need freedom from oppression. It doesn't mean you're possessed, but the devil's taking too much territory in your life. But how does a demon take possession of a human spirit? The Bible's very clear in the Gospels. It finds a dry place, a wound from molestation, a dry place, a bitterness against your sister, where anger and resentment is there. And you say, I'll never forgive her. I prayed for a woman in the altar Sunday, a church leader. And I don't know what it was, but I had a word of knowledge. And I said, you have got bitterness in your heart, and your heart is heavy. And God gave me a prophetic word. I said, you've got to say these words. I forgive you. And she looked and she said, never. And when the Holy Ghost is on you, you say things you don't even think about saying. And Ed, before I could catch Michael, the spirit inside Michael said, then you will be miserable the rest of your life. And then she realized and she broke down, started crying, God delivered her. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Isn't he awesome? So there has to be a consciousness to where you are living in the Word of God, quoting the Word of God, and every day listening to praise music, every day feeding your spirit. Number two, you got to have a contact. In other words, if all you do is do religious things, but there's not a contact, think of a battery with some jumper cables on it. A battery has no power until you connect it. And there has to be a connection, not to the miracle, not to the power. Boy, this is good preaching. And not to the wonder, but to the person performing it. It's got to be about the person performing it. And then number three, there's got to be a continuity. People say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Yeah, you tried it for 3 weeks. Great job. The Bible says, Mike, when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore, putting on the whole armor of God. Bobby, you gotta keep doing it. Somebody say amen. So you got to have a consciousness. You got to have a contact. You got to have a continuity to it. You got to get to the part in some places in your life where you're looking at a miracle and say, listen, I don't care if this takes me 10 years. I'm not budging. And I'm not budging because I need to wander. I'm not budging because I want to see some power. I'm not budging because I'm connected to the vine. John 15, 1 through 17. And then number four, there's a development that goes on. So for you to have life, the kind of life God is saying, let me sum this up, Matt. You got to have a semilla, a miracle. You got to have a sign. But that sign to John is not a sign of dunamis, power where God miraculously says Lazarus, or no, that's a bad one because that's a different word sign, where God heals somebody and there's power there, dunamis power like Acts. It's not a sign like Luke where it talks about wonder in the skies or Acts in the skies, but it's a sign that's connected to a very deep relationship with Jesus specifically. And then you must believe, piste usete, where belief has a decision to make that when I've done all I can do to stand, I'm going to stand. That's right. And that I have to make up my mind to accept the word of God, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And that he said if I was tithed, he'd bless me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over somebody. Say amen. Or he was going to do these things. I'm standing on the word. He's going to heal my body because it's not my time to go. I have to reject it or accept it. And if I accept it, I have to accept it in faith. Then that faith and that connection to the person brings me through the process of Zoe life to where I'm conscious. I'm praying without ceasing. I am in contact with the daily devotion with the master. And I'm present on Sunday mornings, even when it's pretty and I would like to be golfing. There's a continuity. I just don't serve him when there's nothing good going on and when everything's bad in my life. But I serve him when everything is great. I served him when I didn't have two pennies to rub together, and I served him when I had the money to buy a bass boat, and I never let the bass boat take me away from the reason that I got a bass boat in the first place. And then there was this development. I'm growing in the Zoe life. And so what you find is that John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word of God dwelt amongst us and became flesh. We're going to pick up right here next Wednesday, because it's rooted and grounded in the theology of John of the word logos, which means word. But it does not mean syllables expressed through the natural tongue. No, no, no. That word, word, in John, you have to speak the word to the person who can perform it. You got to live the kind of life that's consistent. And you speak the word, the logos. That word means intelligent word. That word means a... Let me show you what it was. Look at how I spell my R. Okay? This is the best way to show you what this word means. And it's not in the beginning of a sentence. It's just the word. Capital R. It comes from Acts 16, where the Stoics are arguing with Paul at Mars Hill, and the Stoics believed that the creator of the universe was the divine spark to the mind, and that intelligence could never, logically rational intelligence could never happen unless God touched your mind. God, I wish those nuts in Washington would get a hold of this. And the nuts in Kentucky. And they would use the capital R as talking about God. If you want to know what it means for him to be the Logos, and the Logos dwelt amongst us and became flesh, it means that the reason, capital R, logical, reasonable, reason, smart, intelligent, logical, touched human beings' mind. And that when you see God, you can call him Almighty. You can call him Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You can call him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You can call him the Light. You can call him the Bread of Life. You can call him the Human HaMashiach. You can call him all kinds of words. But the one word you better call him is reason. And you don't hear that preached much. So you're going to God. I'm going to pray over you. You're going to God and you need a miracle. You got to have three things. Sign, believe, and life. And if you need a miracle, just stand right where you're at. Matter of fact, I'm sorry, God. I'm going to listen to you. Why don't you come and stand right here? I'm going to anoint you with oil and we're going to dismiss. Because the Bible says, if there be any sick amongst you, let them come to the elders. Elders, come up here with me. Let the elders of the church anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man shall availeth much. You need a miracle? It don't matter what it's in. It could be your business, could be ever. Just stand right up here in front, guys. And elders, stand up here in front of them, okay? Georgia, go ahead and pass it around, hon. The other elders, Ed, Josh, Brad. Diane, I know you were here, girl. Good to see you. All righty. Wow. Just stand right here. And you listen, it ain't about power. So your healing's not dependent on whether you fall out or shake.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.